Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. 2 months to the day since Hamas's terror attacks in Israel prompted a massive Israeli military retaliation in Gaza, the situation in the war-torn enclave is becoming apocalyptic, with hostilities making meaningful humanitarian efforts nearly impossible, UN humanitarians warned on Thursday. In a joint statement, 27 aid organizations, including UN agencies and their partners, issued a call for an immediate stop to the fighting, stressing that conditions in Gaza are amongst the worst we have witnessed. Meanwhile, on Thursday, Israeli troops reportedly entered the southern Gaza town of Khan Yunis, where hundreds of thousands of displaced people have been sheltering. Almost no one in Gaza has enough food. In some areas, 9 out of 10 people went a full day and night with nothing to eat, UN World Food Programme WFP representative in the occupied Palestinian territory, Samer Abdel-Jaber, wrote on social platform X, while UN Children's Fund UNICEF spokesperson James Elder, who recently returned from Gaza, summed up conditions in the enclave as no water, no sanitation, no food, just bombs. UN Chief Antonio Guterres called on the Security Council on Wednesday, invoking the rare but powerful Article 99 tool, to press to avert a humanitarian catastrophe and unite in a call for a full humanitarian ceasefire. Some 500,000 refugees and migrants undertook the risky Darien jungle crossing between Colombia and Panama this year, underscoring the need for more regular migration pathways, the UN said on Thursday. The Darien is the epicenter of a deepening humanitarian emergency in the Americas, UN Migration Agency IOM and UN Refugee Agency UNHCR said, and 2023 saw the number of crossings double compared to last year. The treacherous stretch of land separating South and Central America draws people from Venezuela, Haiti, Ecuador and other South American and Caribbean countries, but also from Sub-Saharan Africa, Asia and the Middle East, all searching for safety and a better life. UN Refugee Chief Filippo Grandi said that the challenges posed by unprecedented population movements in the Americas can be tackled effectively by looking together with all relevant stakeholders at what we can do at each step of the journey. People crossing the Darien and other borders irregularly are exposed to natural hazards, sexual and gender-based violence, robbery, human trafficking, extortion and kidnapping, the UN agencies warned. More than a billion Africans cannot afford a healthy diet, and close to 1 in 3 of the continent's children are stunted because of malnutrition. These are the grim findings of a report released on Thursday by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, the UN Economic Commission for Africa, the World Food Programme, and the African Union Commission. It warns that 78% of Africa's population, including many living above the extreme poverty threshold, lack the means to eat healthy, compared with 42% at the global level. 1 in every 5 Africans is undernourished. That's nearly 282 million people, says the report, or a quarter more than before the COVID-19 pandemic. The research indicates that the prevalence of stunting among children under 5 was 30% in 2022. The authors expressed hope that the alarming statistics pointing to an unprecedented food security and malnutrition crisis will trigger new momentum for agri-food systems transformation in Africa to make them more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable. Dominika Tomaszewska-Mortimer, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and happy December. We're now in the thick of that so-called war on Christmas.
Yeah, and I've got my helmet on, I've got my battering ram, I've got my shield, I'm ready to do battle against the Christmas. Of course, we're just joking here. The real battle is being waged by those who want to force religion on everyone else in this country. My name is Dan Barker, and Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. This is the December 7th, 2023 episode of Free Thought Radio. And in the engineering room, Tori Niels is engineering this show. She's with the recording studio Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin. And she's right now in the Stephen Uhl Friendly Atheist Studio here in Free Thought Hall, which is the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Madison, Wisconsin.
So speaking of the war on Christmas, although we're making fun of it, we do say that we like to lob a few soft snowballs at it. And we'll be doing that throughout the month of December. Freedom From Religion Foundation is the producer of our weekly radio program. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation works to keep religion out of government, and that is very hard in December and very hard with Christian nationalists all around us. And we also work to be a free thought association of like-minded individuals. So we have more than 40,000 members around North America today. Thank you if you are one. If not, we'd love to send you complimentary information, and all your contact information, names, etc., is always held in complete confidence. We do not sell our mailing list. So you can go to ffrf.org and click on the Ask for Info link.
Well, today we're going to have some fun on the show. Everything from Archie Bunker to the humorous satirist Liz Winstead.
And we're also going to talk, Dan, about your recent debate at Oxford.
Yeah, I'll give you an update on that. We're also honoring Hector Berlioz. This week is the anniversary of the birth of the French composer who was born December 11th, 1803. Berlioz had no religious affiliation. He was widely known as an agnostic. "I believe nothing," he wrote to a friend. So today, listen for some of Berlioz's music, including Le Carnaval Romain, Le Corsaire, March au Supplice, and Symphonie Fantastique.
French spoken with a Spanish accent.
Yeah, I know. And I can't speak French very well.
Before we move to the news, I do want to report that in terms of our so-called war on Christmas, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has returned our two solstice displays at the Wisconsin State Capitol, where we have had solstice displays to counter religion at the Capitol for more than 30 years. We have put up a protest sign coined by Aunt Gaylor, my mother, and the principal founder of FFRF back in the day that says that the season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. These are words we use a lot. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. And we have since joined that with our Bill of Rights nativities when a local Christian organization started putting up a nativity scene at the Capitol. We countered with our Bill of Rights nativity, which shows some founding fathers and the Statue of Liberty gazing adoringly at a little manger, and in it is the Bill of Rights, because the Bill of Rights was adopted on December 15th, 1791, making it a very seasonal kind of display, and this is the kind of thing that should be honored in state capitals, the Bill of Rights, not religion. So you can find those in the first floor rotunda at the Wisconsin State Capitol.
So besides the 25th of December, which is one day, there's also the 15th, which we honor, and then there's also the winter solstice, the beginning of the astronomical new year. On our TV show, Free Thought Matters, this week we'll have another musical show.
And that is you, Dan, for a second week in a row performing a Free Thought concert before a live audience. And this has got a lot of fun songs. Let's listen to a little of that concert where you play one of my favorites. It's a Free Thought song written by Irving Berlin.
So this is Irving Berlin's 1922, Pack Up Your Sins and Go to the Devil in Hades.
Oh, I got a message from below. Was from a man I used to know about a year or so ago. Before he departed, he as happy as can be. I'll tell you what he said to me. He said, if ever you get heavy hearted, pack up your sins and go to the devil in Hades. You'll meet the finest of gentlemen and the finest of ladies. They'd rather be down below than up above. Hades is full of thousands of Joneses and Browns, O'Houlihans, Cohens and Brady. Heavenly tune that went to the dub, because those jazz bands, they started picking it, they put a kick in it, a crazy lick in it. They've got a couple of old reformers in heaven, making them go to bed at 11. Pack up your sins and go to the devil, and you'll never have to go to bed at all.
To hear the rest of that song and the rest of the concert, you can watch that episode of Free Thought Matters right now on the Free Thought Matters playlist at FFRF's YouTube channel.
And if you happen to live in one of the 13 major cities where Free Thought Matters is broadcast on local television, you can watch Free Thought Matters every Sunday morning. We like to call it the Un-Sermon. For stations and times, check out ffrf.org/Free Thought Matters, or go to our homepage at ffrf.org and look under the news drop-down.
And of course, in Madison, Wisconsin, it plays in the evening on Sunday. So now, Dan, I want to hear a lot more about your recent debate at Oxford. You've just been home for a few days, and we haven't really talked about it very much. For people who didn't know you were in Oxford, when did this happen, and what was the debate about, and who did you debate?
So this is the second time. Back in 2011 or 2012, I did a debate at Oxford on the question, does God exist? And so they invited me back again, this time on the reverse topic, basically, this house believes God is a delusion, which is a stronger, more narrower topic. And I was joined by Phil Zuckerman, who's a friend of ours, who's the sociologist and the author who wrote the book Societies Without God, and by Alex O'Connor, who's a local Oxford YouTuber who has a big following as an atheist. The three of us went up against a Roman Catholic cardinal from Ghana, a Hindu author who writes books about Shiva and Krishna and all that, and then a Sikh, S-I-K-H, a Sikh, whatever they're called, priest or whatever, who was promoting Sikhism, and then there were students involved as well, and so that was the whole debate.
So the students decided, although you worked as a team, you didn't choose your own co-debaters. They did all of the picking, right?
Yeah.
And then you told me that there was a young woman who actually gave a little bit of the debate before you guys started.
The first speakers at the debate were students. Chloe was representing the proposition, which was our side. She did a great job of laying out, the arguments that belief in God is delusional. And then on the other side, a very brilliant young man named David, he's from Scotland, who then got up and rebutted her with the fine-tuning argument, and that God has to exist because of fine-tuning. So they were very good and very articulate. And the three of us on our side, we organized, we decided that Phil would go first, and Phil opened with just a powerful statement about, you would expect there would be some difference in lives if God really existed, and there's not. In fact, people who don't believe in God are in countries are leading better lives. Alex gave a really strong thing, and then I was the mop-up person. I was the strategy was that I would listen to the debate and see what needed to be rebutted, and that was my job.
So you came back and you said you didn't need to rebut anything except for the very early opening statement by the young man, David, who wasn't really an official debater. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, we didn't take any notes when we were listening to the other three speakers.
Which is an indictment. In other words, they didn't make any arguments.
So they came from a long way away, and basically were just wanting to present, make a case for their faith, the Roman Catholic faith and all that stuff, and And
when you say they came from a long way away, you mean they were all from other countries?
Yeah, India, Africa, and in North India. Yeah, they came from a long way, just like we did. We came from America. I guess the Hindu guy did make a case. It's pretty silly, but he's a very Amish Tripathi. He's a very famous author. He writes these sort of like fan fiction of Shiva. He writes a bunch of fictional novels of a fictional story. And he said, well, God cannot be a delusion because we are all becoming gods. And if we are gods, then God cannot be a delusion. So I don't know if you'd call that an argument, but...
So you said that you ended up at least rebutting the young student who talked about fine-tuning.
Yeah. Yeah. So
can you summarize, like in a minute, what you said? Not necessarily just about fine-tuning, but what were your closing statements?
Well, I opened with the six absences, which make the absence of God likely. But then I rebutted fine-tuning by pointing out that it's getting everything backwards. The design arguments are like the guy who says, look at how they make all those rivers flow right along the state border. How did they do that? It must have been a huge engineering feat to exquisitely fine-tune those rivers to fit the borders. But, of course, it's backwards. So those were some of the arguments that I used as well.
Well, briefly, six absences, A, B, S, E, N, C, E, S.
Yeah, six lacks. The lack,
not abscesses.
The lack of a coherent definition, the lack of agreement among believers, the lack of good evidence, the lack of good argument, the lack of a good reply to the problem of suffering, and then the lack of a need because so many people lead good lives without a God.
So Bruce Johnson, who's our video director, came along to film it. So what are we going to get out of that?
Well, you're going to see, actually, we're going to see the whole debate when it gets online. And then he also came with me to Richard Dawkins' house. Richard Dawkins came to the debate, you know, because he wrote the book, The God Delusion. And we went to Richard Dawkins' home where we interviewed Dawkins. And then
he invited you to tea, correct?
Yeah, he invited us to tea. And then he wanted to do some music. He's teaching himself music in his early 80s. And so since you weren't there, Annie Laurie, we decided that we would play the song Annie Laurie in your honor. So here's Richard Dawkins playing the EWI, electronic wind instrument. And I'm playing the piano. We're playing Annie Laurie.
Well, that is very sweet and very poignant. So thank you, Richard. Thank you, Dan, for that ballad. Now, Dan, we didn't say who won that debate. So I'm afraid you have to.
Well, I have to say we actually lost the debate by a vote of 125 to 160. Some of the students there said that they didn't believe in God, but they didn't think they wanted to accuse their friends of being delusional. They thought that was a bit strong. So if you watch the debate, you'll see who actually won the debate on the merits. And we'll have that available, I think, in a couple of weeks.
After the break, some irreverent humor from All in the Family, and then more humor from satirist Liz Winstead.
Hey, Hello, this is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and that, of course, is the theme song from the TV show All in the Family by Norman Lear. The lyrics to that song, Those Were the Days, were written by Lee Adams. The music was written by Charles Strauss.
And I'm Dan Barker. And Charles Strauss, the composer, by the way, the Emmy, Grammy, and Tony Award-winning composer who wrote the musicals Annie and Bye Bye Birdie, is a lifelong atheist. Charles Strauss spoke at one of our conventions, and we interviewed him on this show in 2009.
Yeah, and he collaborated with you on a song that we have played from time to time on Free Thought Radio.
Yeah.
The All in the Family show contrasts the conservative, narrow-minded religious mentality of working-class New Yorker Archie Bunker with his more progressive daughter and her free-thinking husband.
So here's a scene where the liberal son-in-law, nicknamed Meathead, is asking Archie about the soul.
Where is the soul?
It's inside.
Where?
It moves all around.
It's not attached to anything.
Well, it can't be attached to you. Otherwise, it couldn't fly out of your body and go to heaven when you croak.
Well, how does it get out of the body?
It jumps out just before he slammed the lid on a box and cracked it.
Well, what if you cremate it?
Then it jumps out of the box just before it hears the match strike.
Catching souls jumping out of boxes? I don't believe this.
Well, you don't believe it because you're an atheist. You don't believe in God.
Arch, if there is a God, why is there so much unhappiness in this world?
If there is a God, why is there so much unhappiness in this world? I'll answer that question for you, buddy. There is...
eat it! If there is a God, why is there so much... get out of the window there! Can you answer some of these questions over here?
What was the question?
Why did God put so much unhappiness in the world?
When we get to heaven, we'll notice the improvement.
Good. You hear that? So when we get to heaven, we'll notice the improvement there. So I want to tell you something, buddy. Heaven is, a very delirious place. I mean, everybody is happy and they're singing. There's music and people loving and hugging each other and always saying lovely things to each other.
Like the dinosaur show.
Look, Arch, I'll believe in heaven when I get there.
The day I see you there, I'll worry about where I am.
Come on, boy, let's go.
Very funny. And here is a scene from another episode where Archie Bunker is explaining to his feminist daughter why women have to suffer the curse.
I don't want to hear nothing more about women's problems. You don't hear men complaining about their problems, do you?
That's because men don't have any problems compared to women.
And that's God's will, so forget it.
You mean God's mistake.
Hey, God don't make no mistakes. That's how he got to be God. Don't be blaming nothing on God that you women brung on yourself.
That's
right. You don't believe me? Read your Bible. Read your story of Adam and Eve there. In Adam and Eve, they had it pretty soft out in paradise. They had no problems. They didn't even know they was naked. But Eve, she wasn't satisfied with that, see? And then one day, against direct order, she made poor Adam eat that apple. God got sore. He told him to get the clothes on and get the hell out of here. That's why that Eve was cursed, and that's why they call her what he called it, the curse.
Well, there you have it, Gloria, direct from the Reverend Archie Bunker. The true story of menstruation.
Yes, what's that kind of story?
Yes, so I will forever be indebted to Norman Lear. And in fact, I owe him a letter. I mean, he must be almost 100, so I should write him now, that he made some of my mother's last moments happier when she was in hospice, very close to death. The last thing that she watched, really the last thing she did before she went into a near coma, was watch an episode of All in the Family that was on TV. And she smiled and laughed and enjoyed it. So that's very meaningful. And, of course, he went on to form People for the American Way, which does work for separation of state and church. But he picked some very hilarious moments, free-thinking moments from All in the Family, Dan.
Well, he really showed the contrast between this working-class religious conservative and more enlightened feminist people. And without being preachy, he was using humor to illustrate these concepts.
And, of course, Rob Reiner in real life is not religious. He's one of the many in our Free Thought of the Day.
Meathead, right?
Meathead, in our Free Thought of the Day website, ffrf.org/day, where you can find many famous freethinkers' bios and their quotes.
Well, we're going to take a break. Here's a little bit more of Berlioz. How do you say that? Le Corsair? Le Corsair?
I'm not looking at it right now.
Anyway, this is Berlioz music because we're honoring his birthday this week. And after the break, we're going to have some more humor. We're going to hear the comedian and satirist Liz Winstead, a co-creator of Comedy Central's The Daily Show.
And that would be Le Corsair.
Le Corsair, okay.
Le Corsair.
Le Corsair, all right.
Not Le, Le.
Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And now we are going to hear from Liz Winstead, who is a political satirist who received the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Emperor Has No Clothes Award at our annual 2023 convention in October. Liz was co-creator and head writer of Comedy Central's The Daily Show. She also went on to co-found Air America Radio that Free Thought Radio was a part of in its heyday. And now she's a founder of Abortion Access Front. And it's a team of comedians, writers, and producers who use humor to destigmatize abortion and to expose the extremist forces working to destroy reproductive rights across all of our 50 states.
Annie Laurie handed her the award that night.
Now I'm going to ask Liz Winstead to come up and get your Emperor Has No Clothes award.
Wow. Thank you. That's wild. Can you give somebody a naked man in Wisconsin? I feel like it's illegal. I don't know what you can do in the state at this point. I'm terrified. Can you exfoliate? Is that still okay? I mean, it is removing cells. I don't know where we're at anymore, honestly. Thank you for this award. It's thrilling to be given an award from people who believe in nothing. I really just want to thank you from the bottom of my believe in nothing heart. I'll talk a lot about abortion tonight. I'll talk a lot about a lot of things, so just buckle up. Because bodily autonomy is the one thing that we have. It is the thing we must hold dear, because it's the thing that with everything else in our lives, if we do not have that, then we are not 100% citizens of this nation. And so the government doesn't need to regulate our bodies. We have Activia for that. There's just things that are simple and that we know to be true. This year in Texas, somebody proposed a law that they wanted to label all of the food products that had fetuses in them. Who's this for? Is it for people who are just desperately searching for food with fetuses, but they can't find it? Is it for people that have fetus allergies? You know, at a restaurant, you're like, I'm sorry, you said this one didn't have fetuses. I don't have my EpiPen. I mean, okay, the king cake maybe, but, like, there is really no fetuses in food that I can imagine. And the intersections of hate are really what's kind of astounding, right? It's like they're very good at being intersectional. We talk about it. We need to be better on our side. But, like, it's true. During COVID, we were trying to do abortion activism, but it was incredibly hard because the unmasked, unwashed nutbags were outside of the clinics and making things really unsafe. There was a woman holding a sign outside of a clinic that said, I will not mask my unborn child. And I'm like, ma'am, you're wearing pants. If you're wearing underwear, you're double masking. So you better sue yourself. But we're in a mess. The Supreme Court, it's a mess. You know, I mean, the overturning of Roe, Dobbs, Amy Coney Barrett was like, why do we need abortion anymore when people, we just have drop boxes for babies now? Like, you know, can't you just drop it in the Blockbuster slot? Like, what is she even asking? Clarence Thomas terrifies me. Like, this whole Clarence Thomas mess, I am sort of obsessed with the fact that this Harlan Crow situation, you know, I mean, first of all, Harlan Crow has this garden called the Garden of Evil, where he has statues of like Stalin and all of these people, and yet he invites Clarence Thomas and Ted Cruz over to his house. It's like, why do you have these statues? You could just put up mirrors. Seems easier. Harlan Crow also has one of the largest collections of Nazi memorabilia. He actually has a copy of Mein Kampf. I don't know if it's signed, but he has a copy. And he has a yacht. So I'm like, what is his yacht called? The SSSS? It's one of my favorite jokes that I've written this year. I'm not going to lie. The SSSS. Thanks. But Clarence Thomas warned us, the past, right? In Dobbs, he warned us. He wrote in his opinion that it was like, we should be looking at birth control. We should be looking at gay marriage. You know, should we be looking at interracial marriage? You know, and people like, not Clarence Thomas. And I was like, or yes, Clarence Thomas. Think about it. Ginny Thomas is terrifying. He probably can't even ask her for a divorce, so he's like, what if I make my marriage unconstitutional? That's one way to get rid of the old bitch. I know. I bet they're safe words like, don't tread on me. I think their favorite sexual position would be the overreach around. Stay with me. I'll stop with the Clarence Thomas visuals. I'm sorry. You're nice people. What am I even talking about? It's just chaos. the House of Representatives is chaos. What is happening? Matt Gaetz is in charge, it seems. I know, Matt Gaetz. You know something? Here's a fun fact about Matt Gaetz. Did you know that Matt Gaetz was a strong proponent of the 1619 Project? Yes, until he found out it wasn't a dating site. So, I'm just a clown who's mad. I started my career wanting to expose hypocrisy, and doing it in corporate media spaces was super hard. Like, even at The Daily Show, they'd say to me, you know, you can make fun of people, but we're not activists here. And it was like, that doesn't make any sense. It's a, does it people a disservice if you're exposing hypocrisy, but then you don't give them the tools with which then they can fight the hypocrisy, right? And so, you know, I left there and I did Air America, and it was just kind of the same thing where it was like, don't talk about subjects that everybody doesn't want to hear about. Even this is like progressive people. And it was really felt patriarchal. It's like, if you wanted to talk about abortion, oh, do men want to hear about it? And I'm like, shouldn't they hear about it? I feel like no one ever got pregnant from a vibrator. Maybe they should hear about it. So I had left Air America, and I didn't know what I was going to do next, and I decided that I was going to write a book. So I drove from Brooklyn in a van with my two dogs back home so I could write a memoir. And as I was wrapping up the memoir, it was right when Wendy Davis was on the floor in Texas, right? The pink shoes. And I don't know if you remember this, but the media didn't cover it. The internet covered it. And people were live tweeting it. And only then did the media pick up on it. And I myself, as somebody who's had an abortion, who kind of had my privilege really shoved in my face, like I had my abortion, I moved on. And then I watched Wendy Davis. And then I started doing research. And I learned that week that 27 states dropped that same piece of legislation that they dropped in Texas, and nobody was talking about it. And I was like, holy shit, half of America is trying to do this, and no one's reporting on it, no one's talking about it. So I didn't know what to do. I was finishing up my book and was going back to New York, and I was like, I'm going to drive back with my dogs, and I'm going to go do fundraisers for all of these clinics on the way home. So I started calling clinics. I'm like, hey, I'm driving across country with two dogs in a van, and they were like, yeah, I don't know. But then eventually they looked me up, and they were like, oh, she seems okay. So what started out as six shows, gatherings, turned into me traveling to over 100 clinics, doing 100 shows and raising $18 million.
That is the satirist Liz Winstead, co-creator of The Daily Show and Abortion Access Front, speaking at our annual convention. When we come back from the break, Liz will tell us what happened after she brought her act to those abortion clinics. This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. We'll be right back.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace.
Let's restore respect for America's secular roots. Help the Freedom From Religion Foundation defend the wall of separation between state and church. Join us at ffrf.org. Freedom depends on freethinkers. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we are continuing to listen to Liz Winstead, the comic who co-created The Daily Show, and her remarks accepting the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Emperor Has No Clothes Award.
But here's the thing, y'all. I would do a show, and then I would go visit the clinic. And every other clinic, they were like weirded out that I was there because they didn't know how to accept support because nobody was giving it to them. They were left isolated in their communities. There was nobody saying, hey, how can we help you? Are you okay? Is your staff okay? Like, nobody was looking in on them. And I was like, this is a crisis. Because if we burn out these folks and we leave them to provide the care, correct the record, and fight the laws, we're selfish. We're selfish. So I was like, I can try to fix this. So I got back to New York, and I had a dinner. I made a bunch of chili, and I invited a bunch of activist friends and comedians and producers and writers, and I said, I just got finished doing this thing that was supposed to be 10 days, and it turned out to be 6 months, and these folks need us to help build them community. So who's in? I want to start an organization. Who's in? And everybody was in. So what we did in forming Abortion Access Front was we started traveling around the country, and our organization is sort of part Habitat for Humanity, part USO for abortion care. So we do these shows, and then through the course of the show, we have conversations with the activists and the providers in those towns, and they would talk about what their needs are. And one of the things that I learned that was so profound was if you're providing abortion care in Oklahoma City or Birmingham, well, no places like that now, but if you're providing abortion care in hostile environments, you can't get someone to mow your lawn or fix your plumbing or fix your fence or do your roof. And so what we did was we would go in and do some of that work. We'd redo their gardens. We'd paint their clinic. We'd fix their fence. And then when it came time for the show, they would talk about what kind of maintenance need they had. And I'll never forget being in Oklahoma City. And this guy's raising his hand, and I was like, you have something to say. And he's like, I do. Are you telling me that being an activist means I'm hired by them and I get paid and I do their lawn? And I said, yes. You parking your van out in front of that clinic tells the community you support them and tells the clinic that they're part of the community. It was astounding. And then the activists would have tables in the room, and then you'd have 300-400 people signing up in the community to then help the community. So now they're showing up at school board meetings because there's people to do it. Now they're showing up for the clinic when there's any kind of like city council initiative around like protesters outside of the clinics and stuff. They have people they can call on to say, can you bring cupcakes over? The staff is just feeling it. And it's incredible. And so we started meeting these pockets of activists and growing these activist communities. And the second thing that we learned, and this part is a happy accident that a bunch of comics did, and I still kind of can't believe it, is let's say we were in Jackson, Mississippi, and we'd be talking to the activists in Jackson, Mississippi, and there'd be a barrage of protesters. They knew all their names. That's Cal. That's Chet. They're from here. And then they would tell us these stories. And then we'd go to Montgomery, Alabama, and there'd be Cal and Chet. And then the people in Montgomery would be like, they're our locals, Cal and Chet. And I'm like, wait a minute. Cal and Chet are from Jackson. And everybody's like, okay, where are Callan Chat from? People didn't actually have a database of who all these people were and what they were doing. So we all started Facebook accounts, different names, and we started joining their churches. And we started infiltrating and seeing what their plans were. And we started meeting, since we were traveling, we've been to 35 states. So we're gathering information on all these people in 35 states. And through the course of this past 7 years, we've amassed the largest anti-abortion database in the country. And so, I would say, you know, late December of 2020, we started seeing rumblings in the churches. We're going to go to D.C. We're going to go to D.C. We're meeting in D.C. And then we were like, hey, all these anti-abortion folks are going to D.C. Does anybody know anything about it? Then we started following. Then we started following. Then January 5th, we were watching their prayer services. And we're like, holy Greg Locke is there. Jason Storms from Wisconsin is there. All these people are there. Everybody start rolling on all of these different Facebook pages tonight and tomorrow. And when January 6th happened, these dumb going live on Facebook and Instagram, and here we are at Abortion Access Front, snap, pull, 30 people we reported to the FBI. A year later, the same dumb go invade a clinic in Tennessee. Same comedians and activists are like, hey, get that on tape because you can't invade a clinic. Turns out it's against the law. Actually, it's federal law. It's called the FACE Act. Whoops. 11 people arrested just this week. Their charges were upheld. And we're just the comedians. So, when the Dobbs case leaked, we knew Roe was going to fall because that's our job. We're traveling around the country. We see the states we know. So we started a big, giant program called Operation Save Abortion. And within that, we did a whole day-long training that 10,000 people watched and streamed online with five different areas of abortion activism, reproductive rights, and reproductive justice. It laid out and lays out on our website now all the different ways that people can get involved with differing abilities, how much commitment can you make, what can you do. So we have expanded out our work to not only help the clinics travel, but help people find a home to help protect abortion rights, because there hasn't been a home. We are growing and expanding with the goal to be, a piece of us to be the next ACT UP, to take that direct action, to bring joy and fun to expose hypocrisy, because it just isn't any fun to just throw spitballs. So to be able to have these tools and create this arsenal for people to have joy, have fun, make change, have hope, it's really the greatest thing I've ever done in my career. And so I feel really honored that you have honoring me with this award of this naked man, because I feel like it could become to good use in a fight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, she's a CR Forward Award if she wants a weapon. That was Liz Winstead at the national convention that took place in October in Madison, Wisconsin. And if you want to watch that entire speech, go online to fffrf.org/convention. You can look for the 2023 archives and convention, and all of the videos are up of our wonderful speakers this year, so you'll really enjoy it. And eventually this is also going to appear in our newspaper, Free Thought Today, where we reprint all the transcripts or excerpts of convention speeches, and they are very good ones. And you can ask for a sample copy of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's newspaper at our homepage at fffrf.org. Just click the Ask for Info link.
Well, that's our show for today. Free Thought Radio is recorded in the Stephen Ohl Friendly Atheist Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. We want to send greetings to listeners to WOOMLP 92.9 in Philadelphia. It's also heard in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And you might be listening to us in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania on WZML 92.9. Or right here in Madison, Wisconsin to WIDE-FM and WMUU-LP. And in southern Wisconsin, down in Janesville, WADR Community Radio. Speaking about Texas, in College Station, Texas, where Texas A&M is, and Bryan, Texas, there's a station called KEOS. And then in San Marcos, Texas, KZSM. In Columbia, Missouri, KOPN. Over on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon, hello to listeners to KEPW 97.3 FM. And then over right on the border between Vermont and New Hampshire in Bellows Falls, Vermont, WOOL Black Sheep Radio. That's a cute name for WOOL, Black Sheep Radio. In Rhode Island, the university station there in Kingston, Rhode Island is WRIU 90.3. And then in Ithaca, New York, and Watkins Glen, WRFI. Of course, many, many thousands of you are listening to us on the podcast. In that case, please give us a thumbs up on your podcast provider. And tell your friends, tell your family to learn more about Free Thought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
And of course, you can just listen straight off that website at ffrf.org/radio. And find out more about the podcast We Dissent that is supported by the Freedom From Religion Foundation and American Atheists, with female attorneys working for our groups and their female attorney guests chewing over state church matters. And we would urge you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation in our very important work at FFRF.org, and tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.